The Bible described hell and its ugliness. And Sister Daly will hopefully help us shortly to look at a small portion of the beauty of heaven. And I just want to say something about beauty that I've been around for a little while, not a long time, but a little while. But in my little while, I have seen people behavior towards things that are ugly. Is there anybody in the house that's attracted to anything ugly? Stay seated. Only a few. Only a few. Only a few. But for the most part, people are attracted to things that are beautiful. Amen. Amen. I think it was yesterday we talked about the showcase, Pastor P, where God has put us in a showcase that we can show off Jesus. And people look at Jesus through us, and they're invited to come to Jesus because when they look at the beauty of Jesus in us, they come to recognize that he is truly amazing. All right, let's get some thoughts here. Let's go to the text that we have been working with under the theme of heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And today we just want to look at a few more verses as I seek to bring these sessions to a close. So let's look at verse 24 to 26 and let's see how far we can get within the time frame that we're working with. Amen. Is that all right? Is that all right? Amen. Verse number 24. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, Son, can I hear you say son? Son, son. Remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And beside all this between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed. And they that which would pass from hence to you cannot. Can I hear you say cannot? Neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. I believe Sister Janine read from the ESV earlier this morning. It's a little bit easier. But the word of the Lord is already blessed. Amen. Amen. So we have been careful to observe a few things from the text over the past few sessions, and we have looked at what heaven and hell looks like briefly. And we have said that these are final places of residence. For man is an eternal being who is either going to enjoy bliss and fellowship with his creator, or suffer and live in anguish with the tormentor and enemy of his soul. We continue to look at these two individuals, the rich man and the poor man. The poor man is given a name. His name is Lazarus. His name means God helps. We said that when God provides help, don't ignore it. Don't ignore God. We may not like the package, but the content is what is important. When we look at Lazarus, he is sick, he's diseased, he's a beggar, but he has a treasure house inside of him, a treasure of great price that is second to none, something that connects him with God. And because he's connected with God, though he's going through physical struggles and challenges, he understood that there's a better place. A heaven to gain. We said that to gain is to profit. Nobody goes in business to lose. Nobody goes in a relationship to lose. We do what we have to do because we believe it is going to be profitable for us, something to gain. When we become children of God, we understand that we are gaining all of heaven by Christ Jesus. Amen. 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 And I think we would have said it, C.S. Lewis would have said it this way, that sin is the human being saying to God through life, go away and leave me alone. Hell is God saying to human, you may have your wish. From verses 24 to 26, if you want a caption, it's going to be the point of no return and no favor. The point of no return and no favor. So I'm just going into text because I think by now we should have understood it. For those that are not privy to what we said before, then just think with us and follow us along as we move along. This man, the rich man, the Bible said he is in hell. He's experiencing torture. Did I say torture? Amen. And hell is not a good place, based upon the text. Can I hear you say, hell no? Hell no. It's a common phrase that the world uses. It's okay. But they get it from someplace. Got to come from the Bible. Hell no. Amen. Can we say no to hell again?
Hell no.
Amen. 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 You see, the life he lived was one that certainly ignored God's gift of help. And his own selfish, self-centered world, he had things his way, without pity or compassion on a man in need. His heart was shut up on being compassionate. Pity was not a word that he would have used. He was in his own little world. But for him, it was a big world. That world is a dangerous place. Can I say to us, brothers and sisters, that we are wired to be in a community? God made it so. I don't have a choice to whom I was born. But God placed me into a community. A man and a woman, and they decide to have other children, and the community grows, and they live in another community where there are other people who we have to engage with. Is anybody with me? When I thought about that, a thought came to mind that is an old Jamaican. I can't remember his name. What it is, but he says, he said, no man is an island. No man stands alone. Each man joy is joy to me. But each man grief. But is it really, really true? We need one another. Therefore, I will defend each man as my brother, each man as my, but is it really true? Ezekiah Walker, bishop who served near to where I serve, say in song, I need you. You need me. We all are part of God's. I won't harm you with words from my mouth. But is it really true? I pray for you. You pray for me. I love you. I have pity, a word we don't like to use, but wrapped up in that word we said is that word compassion. I won't harm you with words from my mouth. I pray for you, you pray for me, I love you. You love me. We are all a part of God's body. Community. It is in community that we learn social dynamics. We learn good manners. You learn how to pass people on the road without saying, I recognize you. Is anybody with me? Yeah. You see, when I was younger, my mother almost beat me. And I begged not to get beaten. I'm going to tell you why. Because I passed a sister who went to church with her. And she was picking coffee. And I didn't see her. She's not off your walk. And I'm walking fast to go to school. And I don't see this woman for thy kingdom come. And she went to church to tell my mother, I pass her without saying hello. And my mother says, you can't pass my church sister without saying good morning. What's the problem with you, boy? And only God help me not to get beaten. No, I didn't use that word. Okay, that's a dangerous word to use in America. Please don't do that. But seriously, the community speaks of people coming together and respecting each other and helping each other. Are you with me? This rich man clearly did not have that value in place. It's a dangerous world to live in. And in this world, we're going to find different people with different personalities, with different mannerisms. But every community seeks to survive. Everyone. Everyone seeks to survive. And if we are very selfish and greedy, we will be hoarders of the things that God has blessed us with, rather than blessers of which God has blessed us with. I hear Jesus saying in the book of Matthew that if you give a man a drink of cold water, the least of my followers, and this rich man understood that he would have had pity on Lazarus, you would have had your reward. I hear Jesus saying in Luke 6:38, give and it will be given. Good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over will people give into your. For with the same measure you give, it is the same measure you get back. If you are stingy in giving, don't expect much in return. And I have found out that what a man reaps is what he sows. The Bible said, be not deceived. God cannot be mocked. And I've learned that you always reap more than you sow. Always reap more than you sow. I've never seen anybody plant a grain of corn and get back one grain of corn. I've never seen anybody plant one grain of pea and get back one grain of pea. Where I live, they plant at this time of the year because they have to beat the winter. And they plant one sucker of what they want, Scotch bonnet pepper. Let's call it Scotch bonnet pepper. And you're not getting one pepper. That's not how God ordained. When you sow, you reap more. Is anybody with me? This is life. This is living. That's how it is. And the Bible says, as long as we have opportunity, we are to do good to all. Here's a man who seemingly deceived himself in believing that because of his heritage, did I say heritage? Or can I say his family connection? His present predicament would have changed. Now, we'll have to read the verses prior to it. The verses prior to said he was in hell. But what in hell? He's having this conversation now with Father Abraham. And the Bible specifically called him Father Abraham. Didn't call him Brother Abraham. Didn't just call him Abraham. Because that word father suggests something. Oh God. It suggests that there is a connection somewhere. I think we spoke about the fact that he could have a relationship, but the fellowship is broken. But it's very likely that he understood the significance of this person called Abraham. And the Bible says that he was called Father Abraham. When any of my children call me, they will always acknowledge me as their daddy. Relationship. Relationship. Did I say relationship? Relationship. And even when I don't see eye to eye with them on matters, they are still my children. Right, Amari? Still my children. I can't deny it. The DNA is also ego. There is a connection somewhere. And the Bible says that he had this idea, or RV translated, he had this idea that because of his connection with Father Abraham, his present predicament in hell would change. We do it all the time. We do it all the time. Have you been speeding and you get a caught and police pull you over and you flash a PABA card and said, I know so and so. Connection. Don't we do that all the time? Oh Lord. Some people don't do that. Don't you know? Nobody speed in Florida, but in New York we do. or something happened and he said, so and so is my parent. You're looking for a lie, for a way out. You're looking for an opportunity to get an excuse from what you were doing, even though you know that what you did was wrong. Even when you're caught, you're looking for an opportunity, true connection, to get away from what you are caught in. Is anybody with me? And this man is already in hell. He's in torment. But he's talking to Father Abraham. And he's looking to get out of this situation that he found himself in. Even though he's not going to get out. But he's trying. Don't beat him up for trying. And the Bible says. He cried. He said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. What is he asking for? Mercy is something that we get for something we don't deserve. It is somebody who has the ability to give us something that we should have been justly punished for. But mercy says, ease them up. Is anybody with me? Mercy says, yes, you're wrong, but we're going to overlook it. Mercy says, you're wrong, but we're going to cover it. Mercy says, we're going to set you free from the situation. You deserve to die, but we're going to spare your life. You should pay the price of the ticket, but we're going to let you go. Mercy. Had it not been for God, mercy, where would you be? Had it not been for God's mercy, where would I be? The songman said, mercy there was, and grace was, pardon there was, there my burden soul Thank God for mercy. Had it not been for his mercy, where would we be this morning? Jeremiah said, great is his mercy. It's because of his mercy we are not consumed. Every morning his mercy is fresh again. Not stale mercy, Pastor G. Fresh mercy. Like fresh breakfast, we have fresh mercies. God is a great loving God and a merciful God. If it had not been for his mercies. Father, hear Abraham. Connection. Relationship. Have mercy. Unfortunately, his call for mercy was too late. Did I say too late? There comes a time in our lives or in our living experience, our dying experience, where whatever we call after that is just over. It can't get no further. A point of no return and no favor. And so Abraham and this rich man had a conversation. Can we talk about a conversation from hell? Don't come near. Can I hear you say hell no? Don't come there. Understand that if he addressed him as Father Abraham, he expects a fatherly response. Oh, Jesus. Can I ask all the daddies in the house to stand up? All the fathers in the house. All the daddies. By the way, stay standing. Any one of your children, any single one of them find themselves in trouble and call you, regardless of how old they are, you're going to do everything in your power to help them. Am I lying to anybody here? No, I'm serious. Why? Because of connection. Listen to the prodigal boy. I'm going to go home and say to my father, I have sinned against heaven and against, I disrespected you. I consider you dead when I asked you for my allowance. The will wasn't read yet, but he wants what is on the will. How did he know that? Somebody told him. And he said, Daddy, whatever you have for me in the will, I want it now. And under that system, under that culture, you have to die before the will is read. You may be seated, man. And the Bible says that he went to some country, and when he got there, he found himself in dire straits. And in dire straits, he says, I can't live like this. I need to go home. Have you ever found yourself in a situation where one of your children called you and said, I'm in a struggle, and you know that they are wrong, but because they are your child, you're helping them. Blessed quietness. Holy quietness. Father Abraham, have mercy. He's looking for a daddy's response. A response that says, I see your plight. You're in torment. You have a need. You're asking me. I'm going to send help. A place of no return and no favor. Oh, by the way, Abraham was a kind man. Did I say that? You know, I think about Abraham, the brother saw some strangers come up and embrace them, you know. And he said to his wife, please go and make some food. Barry David saying said, please, say, go make some food. But you go inside and make some food. And don't spare. You make sure you get the lamb, flour, everything. You make sure you get everything. You make sure when you're done, they have the best of the milk. They have the best of the flock. They are getting good food to eat. But you know who was there? Jesus. The pre-incarnate Christ was there. And the Bible says when all of that was done, the Lord said to him, we're going to have a conversation. Can I tell you something? That only happens because Abraham heard God's voice to leave his country, to leave his people, and to leave his family. When Abraham says, yes, God, I am doing what you say I'm to do. God says, yes, Abraham, because you obey me, I'm going to make you righteous. So Abraham had a relationship with God. The Bible called him a son, but not only a son, he became a friend. This rich man had nothing in him that looks like Abraham. All the kindness was not there. He wasn't a friend of God, but he found himself in a difficult situation. Is anybody with me? See, too often we believe our connection here can get us out of some situation. And sometimes it happens. Consider it mercy. Consider it mercy. So he looked at Abraham and he says, I want my situation to change because I have a connection in heaven. You know, there's some people still believe that they have a connection in heaven. So they claim that they can live any way they want to live because there's a place called purgatory. And so when purgatory comes, there's going to be some transformation in purgatory, and they're going to say, Peter, we are related to you because you are our bishop. Don't beat me up. And don't let anybody believe me for what I say, okay? I take full responsibility. And they're going to say, send Peter. Open up. We are here. All the stories I hear about Peter asking questions is nonsense. You can only get to heaven because of Jesus. That's it. Pure nonsense. There's only one way to heaven. And there's only one person that can take you to heaven. Jesus said, I am the. I am the. And I am the. No man gets to the, but by, don't fool yourself. Father Abraham, this is my plight. My plight is, Father Abraham, I have a problem. The problem is I am in a flame and I'm tormented and I need not much, a little bit of water. It's ironic. It's funny. He's not asking for much. He's not expecting Abraham to give him a glass of water. He only wants a tip of water. And who is he asking it from? The same man who begged him crumbs. Oh God. When Lazarus was alive, Lazarus asked him for a little bit. No, the dynamics change. There is a reversal of situation. And in the reversal of situation, he found himself in need. And when Lazarus was in need, he said, I only want crumbs. He says, I'm not asking for much, only a little bit. Life has a funny way of turning things around. Be very careful how we treat each other, how we pass each other along the way. Be very careful, because right now it might be good for me, but tomorrow it may be bad for me. And right now I may be in good shape, but tomorrow you never know. And if I pass you and be able, I don't know you, I may have to come to find you. And when I find you, you're going to say, didn't I see you tomorrow, yesterday? Be very careful. Very, very careful. Daddy Abraham. Connection. I need a little bit of water. Now, if this man was affiliated with Abraham, and he clearly felt he was, he would have learned some stuff from the scriptures that one thing you can't do is John the Baptist said the time will come. And I'm going to read it for you. You see, John the Baptist was a different kind of preacher. We don't preach like that anymore. He said, brood of vipers, who wanted to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruit, word of repentance, and do not begin to say after yourself, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children. Don't even try to say, because of how you live, that Abraham is your father in heaven. Because you're not getting an escape. He can't help you. Pastor G, my first child is in the house. Yes. There are things I can't help him with. One of them is his personal salvation. I can't help him with that. He's on his own. And he has his first son here. And he will never be able to help his first son with that either. It has to be a personal decision. God never have Sister Pat grandchildren. He doesn't have grandchildren, Sister Jenny. He only has children. Claiming special privilege or rights with Abraham. Don't cut it. Did I just say that? Don't cut it. We have to line up with the Abraham who obeyed God. I can just imagine. He's trying to use his same earthly tactics in hell to get something. Oh God. Abraham, 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 Abraham. Abraham says, we have a problem. But observe what Abraham said. He said, son. He said, son. That's what he called him. Son. Father Abraham. Father Abraham said, son. I see a plight. I hear your cry for help. But even though you call me Daddy Abraham, and I'm calling you son, there are some things we can't do in the place of our final destination. My heart goes out to you. I hear you scream for help, but I can't help you. Son, it's a beautiful expression. He's not denying that the brother recognized his fatherhood. Neither is he denying that the man could be or was or whatever it was, a son. He's addressing him as a son. But there comes a time where daddy can't help son. All he's asking for is a little bit, not a lot. And Abraham had plenty, but he can't get it. And it's not that Abraham is mean, you know. He just can't get to him. The system is designed that Abraham cannot get to him. And it's not that Abraham designed the system. It's God who designs the system. And don't tell me that God is full of hate. God is full of love. But he's a just God. Did I say just? And justice must be served. Place and time will always change things, right? He decided and he sealed his own decision. You know, as we listen to the conversation and this conversation about relationship, can I ask you a question? What is your fellowship? Where's your relationship? Could it be that there are not plenty of sons in heaven? Did I just ask that? I'll ask it again. Could it be that there are not many sons, plenty of sons in heaven? Abraham's sons. God said to Abraham, Abraham, because you obey me, I'm going to bless you. And who I bless, no man curse. But it's a year, because I bless you, you will be a blessing to other people. So other people are blessed because of Abraham. So am I. If it wasn't because of Abraham, where would Jesus be? God designed it to be so. I am a child of Abraham because of Jesus. Is anybody with me? You sure? All right, put it this way. I'm a child of God because Abraham was a child of God. And God promised Abraham that those who trust him will come through a descendant of Abraham. And Abraham is the forefather of Jesus. Read it just for yourself. And Jesus is my Savior. And because he is your Savior, then Jesus' relationship with Abraham seal it that you and I are also children of God, coming through a lineage coming down from Abraham. Is anybody with me? Son, but could it be that there are not many sons, that some sons won't get to heaven? I don't know. It should be a comforting expression. But his hands were tied. The justice of God is a part of, not aside from, is a part of his holiness. He's a just God. And he cannot be impartial. So Abraham says, young man, my son, can I remind you of how you used to live? When you live here, you enjoy life. You ate the best. You wore the best. You had servants. You even have dogs who had pity on this poor man. Everything that life could offer you, you had it. And this poor man showed up and you had no compassion. And you in hell now asking me to send the very man who you did not have compassion on to have compassion. I would love to do it, but I can't. I can't. He says, Abraham says, in your lifetime, you had good things. Lazarus, evil things. Observe good and evil. Now he is comforted. We talked about the bosom the other day. A place of comfort. A place of acceptance. A place of bonding. Ask any baby in the house. A place of bonding. A place of saying, I belong here. Lazarus was rejected. He was ignored. But in Abraham's bosom, he was accepted. The Bible speaks of us being accepted in the well. Can I get a witness in the house? Accepted in the well. And so Abraham says, that was the lifestyle you lived. But now, he who lived that lifestyle, poor and wretched and sick, now is enjoying God's best. And you who enjoyed the earth best is now enjoying hell's worst. There is a heaven to gain. There are some things that you and I may never receive upon this earth. But if we trust Jesus, keep on trusting. Keep on trusting. Keep on trusting. Let me just say something quickly about heaven before I try to rush and finish. Here comes Sister Daly. Heaven is a place of life, of service, of worship, and glory. But we don't have time to read Revelation. So come, Sister Daly, help me out here.
Okay. He took me away in the spirit to an
enormous... This is the Message Bible, Revelation 21 and 22, few verses. John is taken in the spirit. Go ahead.
Okay. He took me away in the spirit to an enormous high mountain and showed me holy Jerusalem descending out of heaven from God, resplendent in the bright glory of God. The city shimmered like a precious gem, light-filled, pulsing light.
Oh, you hear that? You didn't hear that, right? Resplendent in the brilliant glory. You see, you and I have never really experienced that kind of glory. Some people call it the Shekinah. But let me just tell you something about that glory based upon Isaiah. When he found himself seeing that glory, he saw not only God, but he saw himself. He says the glory of God fills. And there was some shaking. And he saw angels. And angels declared that he is three times holy. And he said, when I look at myself, I said to myself, man, I am in a serious predicament right now. My spiritual status would not allow me to stay in this experience. So woe. Observe the word woe. I'm done. But God says you're not finished yet. If you're in this kind of glory and you're tall, I have the ability to clean you up, fix you up, and set you straight and send you on a mission for me. In that kind of glory. Can I remind you when Peter, James, and John experienced that glory? Peter says, wait a minute. We are experiencing this. We don't want to leave this. Can we have three houses here? One for you, one for Elijah, one for Moses. And God says, no, you're not getting the house. You must listen to Jesus. But the glory was so beautiful that they didn't want to go back to earth. That's what heaven is all about. When you go there, you don't want to come back. You're hurt. The city splendid in the bright glow. Come on. Yes, go ahead, Sister Davy.
The city shimmered like a precious gem.
Shimmered like a precious gem.
Light-filled, pulsing light.
Wow. Go ahead.
She had a wall majestic and high with 12 gates.
Yes.
At each gate stood an angel. And on the gates were inscribed the names of the 12 tribes of the son of Israel.
Hold on. We're paraphrasing, we're cutting and piercing.
Okay.
So the city was laid in a perfect square. The walls was jasper. The color of glory. Pure gold, transparent in glass. Go ahead.
The so city was the, laid
the
out.
The foundation of the city wall. The foundation of the city wall were garnished with every precious gem imaginable.
The foundation of the city walls,
yes,
were garnished with every precious gem imaginable.
Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Every now and then I'm told that I need to buy a piece of gold. That's what they tell me. And I said, for what? They tell me that the gold endures forever and that the one they had don't work anymore. So they put it aside. I said, I am a little bit lost. Gold is expensive. They say gold is expensive? Yes. You know, people die to get gold. You know that, right? Yeah, people die to get gold. Yes. Can I tell you that heaven is not looking for gold. Nobody's dying looking for gold in heaven. You with me? What you and I can't buy down here, that's what makes heaven heaven. There is no jeweler upon the face of this hurt that has the ability to cut gold or to refine it the way that heaven gold and gems are refined. Okay, Sister Dilly, go ahead.
The foundation of the city walls were garnished with every precious gem imaginable.
Yes.
The first foundation, jasper.
Yes.
The second, sapphire.
Hold up. I don't have a clue what these things are. But every time I try to read on them, I find myself lost in some stuff that is bigger than my mind. Things I can't buy, Camille. I can't afford them. I'm serious. But read on.
The third, agate.
Yes.
The fourth, emerald.
Yes.
The fifth, onyx.
Yes.
The sixth, carnelian. The seventh, chrysolite.
Yes.
The eighth, beryl.
Yes.
The ninth, topaz.
Mm-hmm.
The tenth, chrysoprase.
Mm-hmm.
The 11th, jacinth.
Mm-hmm.
The 12th, amnesty.
I take all of that. She does better than me. And the 12 gates.
The 12 gates were 12 pearls.
And each gate?
Each gate a single pearl.
Yes.
The main street of the city was pure gold.
Did I hear you say pure gold?
Pure gold.
Okay.
Translucent as glass.
Hold on. Every time that I want to see if I'm dressed appropriate to leave my house, I have a mirror. I am told I don't use it as often as I should. So other people use it quite often for me. I won't disturb my sisters, but they love mirrors. Any sister in the house don't love mirror? And I'll take it. Because as we said earlier, presentation is important. Appearance is important. Do you know that Jesus Christ is concerned about our appearance? Yes. Every wedding that I go to and they read from Ephesians, I hear that. There's a cherishing of the body. There is a washing of the body. There's a sacrificial giving of the body. Because the body must be presented to look like Christ. No man ever hate his own flesh, but in cherish it. Does I go? Yes. And so Christ now does something in the human spirit and soul. And he makes sure the body is a receptacle. Did I say receptacle? Our house. To bear the very image of God. Sister Daly, you finish?
No. But there was no sign of a temple.
Go ahead.
No, there was no sign of a temple.
Mm.
For the Lord God, the sovereign, strong, and the Lamb are the temple.
Okay. Thank you. We're going to stop there.
Okay.
I was just trying to give you a picture of what heaven looks like. And may I tell you that I can't? Eyes have not yet seen. But what John tells us from Revelation chapter 21 all the way to the end of Revelation is a picture of what heaven looks like. And there's nothing ugly about heaven. When people tell me the best is yet to come, I say, thank you, Jesus. It's true. The best is yet. So let me run along and get you out of here in 10 minutes. What a man give in exchange. What will a man give in exchange for his soul? There are some things the world can offer, and there are some things the world can't offer. And one of those things that the world cannot offer is heaven. I say it again, there's no purgatory. What a rich man had on earth, he lacked in heaven. His riches did not send him to hell. Can I just say that? Rich people don't go to hell because they are rich. Poor people don't go to heaven because they are poor. Is anybody getting that? Don't look at people's wealth and says because they are rich, they are going to hell is not true. Jesus didn't say so, no, so it go. Not because you're poor mean you have to go to heaven. Because poor people who reject Jesus Christ will still go to hell. The Bible says that he went to hell because of his careless living. According to Darrell Bach, he slipped into a coma of callousness that wealth often produces. He became consumed with his own joy, his own leisure and celebration, and failed to respond to the suffering and need of others around him. Darrell Bach. Paul, writing to Pastor Timothy, says, Timothy, can you do this for me? Make sure you tell those that are rich in this present world not to be haughty, not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who give us richly all things to enjoy. True riches is not what we have here on earth. It is what we have in store in heaven. The bigger enjoyment of our riches can only be seen in heaven. This rich man was suffering in hell, and his riches couldn't help him. Commentator Trapp says, this was punishment without pity, misery without mercy, sorrow without succor, crying without compassion, mischief without measure, and torture without end. That's hell. So what in hell do you want? There's nothing good there. So why do you want to go there? It's not for you. Oh, Jesus. He experienced what we call a reversal of condition. There was one more issue Abraham says that he couldn't do, even though he'd love to help. A great gulf. God established boundaries that could not be crossed over. You see, God has sovereign rights in heaven, on the earth, and even in hell. When I tried to come to this country, they tell me that I must get a passport and get my visa. And they would not allow me to come to the border without a visa. As a matter of fact, when I got here the first time, they asked me more questions than what they asked me back there. And they tell me that I can come and they can tell me to go home if they choose to. Because America has sovereign right over the country they call America. God has sovereign right over heaven. And he also has sovereign right over the earth. And where he established boundaries, they are permanent boundaries. Are you with me? So you and I can't just barge into heaven. There has to be proper and legal arrangements made before leaving earth. Proper and legal. Did I say legal? As much as your father called me son, and I could show up at your father's house without calling, I never show up without calling. Are you with me? Respect. It's the man's house. Are you with me? My children can come into my house and they could go into some places, but there are some places they still have to say, Daddy, I'm coming. You with me? It's true. There needs to be some boundaries in place. And they can roam and do a lot of things, but at the same time, there are some things that they have to ask permission. Can I? The fridge is there, enjoy the food. And if I have my money, I'm sure they won't go take it. They're going to ask me first. There are just some things they have to ask for. Am I talking to anybody in the house? But yet they have a legal right because they're my children. But if they're not my children, I can call the police. Because they are intruders. You with me? Heaven is a place prepared. And there has to be proper documentation and legal requirements. Did I say legal? No, we're not talking about legalism, brothers and sisters. That's not what I'm talking about. This is all about grace. But until we know that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, until God see our name there, we are in trouble. And so Abraham says, son, with all my heart, there are two problems here. One, your lifestyle that you live here was not one that reflects the life that Abraham lived. It's not a lifestyle that said, I trust God. You live the way you want to live. You enjoy God's blessing without thinking about God. You thought that your position, your money, and all your social status was sufficient. Sufficient to bring you to a better place. But now that you die, you find yourself in misery. And out of the depths of hell, he's bawling. Could you send the same man I ignore to help me? I don't want much, only a little. And Abraham says, I'm so sorry. I can't. Because God established some boundaries that I can't break. Can I just say to us that once our eyes close and we take our last breath, there's a point of no return and there are no favors granted. But there are consciousness even in death. Even in debt. So the question is your name legally written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Can't wait until you die. Can I hear somebody said, hell no?
Hell no.
You're not saying it loud enough.
Hell no.
Touch your neighbor, said hell no. Wake up the person that is sleeping and say, you need to talk. Say, hell no. Can I hear somebody say, heaven yes?
Heaven yes.
Heaven yes. There's a hell to gain. And a hell to shun. God bless you. Amen.